We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
On the Big 12 Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, this is Big 12 This Week.
Kansas has to eliminate their turnover issues.
The only official Big 12 radio show.
Oklahoma has three guys who can score. Who picks up the slack after that? This could be an amazing run for Baylor.
Big 12 This Week is brought to you by Prime Sport, the go-to source for your premium game day experience at the Big 12 Men's Basketball Championships. Natty Light Seltzer. This basketball season, Natty Light Seltzer is crashing the party hard. Academy Sports and Outdoors, official sporting goods and outdoor retailer of the Big 12 Conference. Phillips 66, live to the full. Also by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Live from the Learfield IMG College Network Studios, here's your host, Bill Pollack.
And we actually take the show on the road. We're at Sprint Center in Kansas City, site of the Big 12 Men's Basketball Tournament, along with the women who are just down the road at Municipal Auditorium. And this is a little bit of a different format. This is more of a podcast style. Now, it's an advantage for you, the listener. No commercial breaks. So we're just going to free flow and just kind of go with it. And we'll talk. And when we run out of things to say, then we'll sign off on it.
But we are drinking Dr. Pepper, even though there's no commercial breaks. So.
Right. There you go. Yeah, we've got live reads and Dr. Pepper. Very nice. Yeah.
Leave it to the guy from Waco to say that.
Love Dr. Pepper.
That is John Morris, the voice of the Baylor Bears, and joining me on this first, I guess, segment, not really a segment, but the first portion of this podcast is Brian Haney from the Kansas Jayhawks, the voice of the Jayhawks, who broke on our regular Big 12 This Week show, broke the news that the NCAA is shutting out fans for the tournament. Now, that's the entire tournament, or have you been able to follow up? I mean, this is all fluid as we're doing.
I've been working the phones hard all day, Adam Schefter style, and then just read a notification off my screen, and I happen to be on the air with you. But, yeah, this is all tournament games.
It was great.
Which is unbelievable.
It really
is.
It's
hard to wrap your mind around what it would be like to be in a Final Four with no pageantry, pomp and circumstance, no concerts, no parades, none of that hoopla that goes into it. We may see it this week here in Kansas City. You know, it was kind of eerie walking in to sit down and do this interview 30 minutes ago. There is the normal basketball courts outside in the Power and Light District set up, a couple of bouncing balls, but not the normal downtown energy. This place could turn into a ghost town. We're still waiting to hear what the Big 12 is going to do, but just imagine March Madness without all the hoopla that normally surrounds each round.
It's unfortunate, too, because this is such a great event. It's such a national event, and think about how many fans plan their time around following their team, their schools, to wherever they go in the NCAA tournament, and now they're apparently not going to be able to do that. And actually, what we're recording right now may be moot by the time it's ready to air, because who knows? Things are changing by the minute, really, Bill, aren't they? I mean, mean, the things, the notifications that we're getting are changing minute by minute.
Yeah. Well, at the start of the day, and this stuff came across late afternoon, the Big 12 sent a notification to media that they weren't going to be able to go into the locker rooms. They were going to kind of keep the media away from the players and the coaches. That was the initial step. And then I spoke with people of the Big 12, and I said, are the Sprint Center and Municipal Auditorium, are they doing anything different? We haven't heard anything from them at all at that point. And then it was really weird in the middle of our segment with Brian. I was talking to Brian and then Brian Estridge from TCU. And then Haney jumps in and says, the NCAA just – that's it. They're cleaning out the fans. So, I mean, it's just constantly. So who knows? By the time you're listening to this podcast, so many different things could change around.
Well, and think about the student athlete experience too. I mean, understand fans, and that's really important. It's very important. But think about the student athletes and these guys who play basketball and work so hard at it, and coaches. That's their livelihood. You know, you want to make the NCAA tournament. You want to be there and hopefully get to the Final Four, but at least experience the best experience you can in the NCAA tournament. And now it looks like it'll be an experience without fans in the stands, kind of like a preseason scrimmage. I mean,
exactly.
It's very, very strange.
Only with the highest possible stakes.
You're right.
It's going to feel like a July pickup game, only with all the marbles on the line.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
Wow.
So essential staff will be allowed into the venues, but I'm assuming no cheerleaders, no band, no pep band. I mean, it's going to be quiet. It's going to be like playing in an open gym at the Y or something.
And for us who do radio broadcasts, I mean, we love that crowd sound, you know, the energy that the fans provide. How much of a factor is that going to be? You know, the energy of fans, you know, kind of pushing teams on as they play, it's not going to be there.
There are so many things that are like spinning in my head. The first thing that I thought of was a couple of years ago when the Baltimore Orioles and the Chicago White Sox played that game with no fans and having the riots in Baltimore. But you guys at the scorer's table, you're there at the bench. I mean, you probably have to watch for language. I don't, you know, coaches, players,
sure.
There might be language that might be coming over. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider.
That's true.
Not to mention, for the first time in my 4 years as voice of the Jayhawks, Bill Self's finally going to hear one of my calls. He'll be 5 feet away. He'll hear everything we say. And if he disagrees with Greg Gurley's analysis, he'll turn around and give him a look.
On the spot critique, right?
Right. Wow. Well, but think about that. Imagine Mario's miracle. The shot in 2008, sure. Most famous shot in the illustrious history of Kansas basketball. Imagine that call without the roar of the crowd, without the energy in the building and the Alamo Dome of all the tens of thousands of fans going wild as that shot goes down and history is made. If that happens again, you're going to hear the radio guys, maybe Jim Nance. That's about it. Some clapping from the bench and a coach pumping his fist, and that's it.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Wow.
And somebody says to me, well, you can pump in or you can pipe in crowd sound, fake crowd sound. And I said, yeah, you could, but everybody knows it's fake. You know, you really can't do that. So I don't think there's anything we can do about it. Certainly you have to appreciate the NCAA and then whatever the Big 12 does here, you have to appreciate them keeping the best interest and the safety of fans and student athletes and coaches and everybody, you know, first and foremost. That is the most important thing.
Right.
So you have to appreciate that no matter how things might play out.
All right, what about this? I'm just spitballing here. What about music? What if they pumped in music for the guys?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Sure. What if one coach says, no, I don't want music? I don't know. I mean, there's so many different things that can happen.
Baylor practices, when they've got music going most of the time during practice, just to have a little noise, you know, so it's not dead quiet. So I don't know about you guys at practice.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I think typically you have the starting lineups. As you know, in Allen Fieldhouse, because Scott Drew was famous for one time taking his team out in the hallway to not see the intro video.
Wait, can I explain that? No, go ahead.
That was a great move.
No.
We always applauded for
hear.
That.
He couldn't hear is what it was. He just wanted to get out away from it so he could talk to his team.
I'm glad we've settled this once and for all.
Very good. Yes. Groundbreaking here
groundbreaking.
On this podcast.
But the point is, like that video is part of our routine. They play that same video here at the Big 12 tournaments.
Yeah.
And so will they do that in these NCAA venues, some kind of hype video, some kind of something to make it feel like normal?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if the officials come out and everybody shakes hands with the captains and then we toss the ball up in the air, it really doesn't have any normalcy to it.
I would think for the radio side and TV, I would think you would have to do something like that to at least give the fans that are listening to you guys on the radio or if they're watching on TV, to have some type of experience, because you've got to make it exciting for the fan, too.
You would hope so. Yeah, I mean, something like that. And then what's the definition of essential personnel? How far does that extend? I mean, I would think us doing the team, the official team broadcast, I would think that we'll be okay to do that. But then how far beyond that does it go? And, you know, we may have more people listening than ever before or watching, because ones that were in the normally would be in the arena are probably not there.
Let's bring in Tom Bowman.
Yeah, sure. You want to
introduce? Yeah.
Who the hell is this voice?
Welcome, Tom.
Tom Bowman. I don't even know what your official title is.
Vice President of Broadcast Operations, Babysitter.
All right.
I'm hopping on, it's a podcast, so this is nice. I can jump in on a podcast and not feel crazy. But so there's a lot of communication going back and forth on our side behind the scenes of what do we do? Are we considered essential? And if we're not considered essential, how do we pull this off? Do we consider calling them from video feeds, for instance? And that's going to give us the same feel as if we're in a semi-empty arena. And even worse, you're going to call it from an office somewhere, you know, maybe in a studio, you know, back at your schools.
Right. You have an answer on that yet?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm posing
gotcha.
Things.
But if you do it that way, then you have to have your pregame interview with Bill Self or Scott Drew over the phone. And you're, like, taping it from miles and miles away. You lose out on so much of the storytelling and the journalistic aspects that go into breaking down the game before and after, let alone the game call itself.
As broadcasters who are obviously, you know, in these sites and around the fans, and you're in with the fans, you know, with football, you're up in a booth and you're sort of confined away. For basketball, you're right there courtside. You got fans right behind you a lot of times. Does it make you nervous thinking about this? Do you have any hesitation yourselves of, hey, I'm going to go to some venue for the NCAA? Are you concerned?
Personally, my biggest concern right now is I think this is Kansas's best chance to hang a sixth banner that we've had in a long time. Now, this is our ninth one seed in 14 years. You're probably thinking, oh, come on, Kansas is the one seed most years. Yeah. This particular team, within this specific year, the way they're built defensively, the way they score high percentage buckets around the rim and in the paint and all that, we felt for a long time that of all of Bill Self's teams since 2008, this was our best chance. Tom, my biggest concern is we're not going to have a chance to call the game.
Right.
We're not going to have a chance in a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
So it doesn't you don't have any concerns about going to one of these venues in the next week or so?
I really don't. And I don't mean to sound brash or whatever, but we've been gearing up for this postseason run for so long now. Think about everything Kansas has gone through away from basketball for the last 18 months. This was supposed to be, pardon the pun, our one shining moment. And what if the one shining moment has nobody there to see it? Yeah. I think it makes the role of radio all the more important.
Absolutely. So, you guys play a vital role to it. If there's no, you know what I mean? I mean, you have to be there.
Right.
I don't know.
I would think so.
Give you guys a test. Test you for coronavirus the day before you go out there.
Do that. And you agree with Brian. I agree, Tom, to answer your question. I agree with Brian. I don't have any concerns about that. I mean, I feel like, we're just doing our job. We'll take every precaution and maybe extra precautions, maybe more than we normally would, but nothing more than our team or coaches aren't doing. So I feel like I have no concerns about it personally, to answer your question.
Something for our listeners, and we kind of have to be careful about this, and if I can't talk about this, let me know, but from the office pool standpoint, from a gambling standpoint.
I'm out on this one.
Right. I mean,
we all are. I mean, if you work for an NCAA institution, which I do, we're out completely on that.
We can't talk about
it. But I think what you're getting at is, does that affect it?
Does that affect
how people look at these games?
Because there's no doubt in my mind, Kansas, and Baylor had a great season too, but to me, Kansas is head and shoulders above everybody else, and then there's been ups and downs with other teams. They've got the top shot, but I mean, if you're not playing in front of a crowd, if you know where you wanted to play, it doesn't turn out where you're going. I mean, there's a lot of things that can come into play. So I'm just talking about that from a fan standpoint, and I don't want to go down that road because that's just kind of dicey for us and in the business that you guys are in. But for the fans listening to this, though, Those are things you've got to think about. How do teams react with nobody around to cheer them on?
Well, certainly this weekend it's a factor. And at the time of taping, we don't know what the Big 12 is going to do. But assuming the Big 12 follows suit with what the NCAA has set up for next week, then the home court advantage that everybody always gripes about for Kansas and Kansas City, they can't use that excuse this year.
Right.
And we're not going to be able to use that sixth man this year, which would have been probably 15,000 of the 19,000 wearing crimson and blue for our session's game. So at least within this weekend, should that be the case, there is a significant effect in losing that sixth man behind you.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Let's talk just about your teams. Mm-hmm. And John, I'll start with you. Since we're on this big white couch, let me set the scene for everybody here too.
It's a great studio you guys have here. I love it. Tom spared no expense.
Tom told me, he says, "Hey, let's do the show Big 12 Championship Week. Let's do it from Sprint Center." He says they've got a couch, and I'm like, "What? You were not going to get a couch." I was all excited. I thought, "Well, I'll see it when I believe it." But everything down here in the bowels of the Sprint Center is gray and black. And then tucked in this corner between the media workroom and the tunnel to lead onto the court is this bright red carpet, this white leather couch, that this big like half circle with red pillows. And then there's red lights that shine behind us on this white wall. It looks so out of place for everything else in here. But I mean, I feel like a big star. It's like, I saw this, like, this is great. I texted to my son, Ryan, who you know, Brian, and I said, check this out. He said, oh, that's awesome. And I said, yeah, I said, I know. I said, if I tried to set this up on my own, I wouldn't get this far. I said, but Learfield IMG, I said, that name, and Tom Bowman, I said, they got it done. So, yeah, we're in a great situation. So since we're on the couch, let me lay back on this couch, and you be the psychiatrist here. This is how I saw Baylor. They had that big winning streak, number one in the country. They lost to Kansas, and then they lost a little momentum, and some of the steam got let out. And I think it's just human nature where the players are like, everything went. The streak went. Number one went. And the last four or five games, they're just trying to muddle their way through and looking big picture beyond.
Yep. That's fair. We have the roles reversed, though. I think we need the psychiatrist. You need to be the psychiatrist for us. But, you know, that winning streak, which was historic, 23 straight wins for Baylor, its longest winning streak in Big 12 history, broke the streak of 22 that Kansas had. But, you know, when that streak ends, I think naturally you kind of have your bubble burst a little bit, and then it's how you respond to that. And our bubble was burst by a loss to Kansas in the Farrell Center. Great win there. Baylor didn't shoot free throws well, but lost the game. Asabuki was tremendous on his way to being the Big 12 Player of the Year. So lost that game, turned around and won the next game, which was huge, over Kansas State. And that was good to rebound and get that win. But then went to Fort Worth and lost to TCU. One thing Baylor did really well, has done well all season, is play good defense, and their scoring defense was top five in the nation most of the year. We gave up 54 points in the second half to TCU and lost that game. So then that's two losses in three games. Turned around, played on Monday night, beat Tech in the Farrell Center on senior night, which was huge, and then went to West Virginia and lost the season finale, and again gave up 52 points in the second half to West Virginia. So Baylor, at the end of the year, lost 3 of 5. But the whole, if you step back and look at the whole season, 26-4, 15-3 in the Big 12, as many quadrant one wins as any school in the country, you know, the old body of work is good enough for Baylor to be up there as a number one or possibly number two seed in the NCAA tournament. So it was a tough end of the season, but the season overall has just been terrific and really historic proportions for Baylor basketball.
You can listen to Big 12 this week on TuneIn under College Sports Now, talking with John Morris, the voice of Baylor, and Brian Haney, the voice of Kansas. So as you look ahead, is there a lot of concern with the way that they finished the season moving forward into the tournament, and not just the Big 12 tournament, but the NCAA tournament, or can this team turn it back on?
You know, I tell you what, once we get out of the Big 12 tournament, well, the answer to that question is everybody's tired, you know, and it's how do you respond to that, and banged up. Everybody's a little bit banged up also. So how do you respond to that? But after this week, when you go to the NCAA tournament, it's like a breath of fresh air in that you're seeing somebody different. They don't know every set. They don't know every call that you have, you know, like everybody in the Big 12 does when you see everybody twice. So it'll be nice. I think it'll be refreshing. crushing once we get to the NCAA tournament and start playing somebody different.
Yeah.
I think Wyatt's got some breaking news.
Oh, does he, Bryant? Wyatt Thompson, voice of...
Something new? Something new? Any new news?
No news.
Okay.
All right.
You had newsman Wyatt Thompson, you look like you had some news.
I was just
oh, okay. Sorry.
We'll bring Wyatt back in later, too, on the podcast. And I forgot what I was going to ask you, Brian. Oh, my gosh.
How good is
Kansas? Always seals our thunder.
Yeah, right. That happens all the time.
Oh, I wanted to talk to you about Azubuike.
Yeah, sure.
Last week on the show, I think you guys were starting as the show was airing, and I was talking about, boy, I don't know about his ankle. I don't know how much he'll play. Are they going to limit him? All this stuff. And then in the middle of the show, I look, and he was like 8 of 9 or 9 of 9. He had 30 points in the first half, whatever it was. So no issues from him, obviously. He's rolling along and in good shape.
Yeah, on that particular night versus TCU on senior night, he had the finest scoring senior night performance since Danny Manning. And Kansas has won a remarkable 37 consecutive senior nights, which is ridiculous to think about. But this was the best scoring performance since 1988 from the eventual number one overall pick and most outstanding player of the Final Four, Danny Manning. So that was pretty special company for Doak. You know, ankle's fine. He'd be fine all 3 days should they be lucky enough to play on all 3 days here in Kansas City. I think the one injury that we're monitoring is the foot arch of Marcus Garrett, and he's been able to play through it, but some games more so than others you can really see him laboring out there. This is the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. This is a guy that could win National Defensive Player of the Year. Fran Fraschilla has said that about Marcus Garrett. His injury is not going to heal unless he just shuts it down for 3 or 4 weeks. I bring that up because what if the NCAA shut down March Madness for 3 or 4 weeks? Again, we're talking hypothetically here. What if they postpone things as some other leagues are considering doing right now? What other situations around the country, injury situations, you guys, for example,
rest
would be huge. You know, and so Kansas is a probably 92% healthy team right now. That's a weird percentage, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Dotson's got a little bit of a gimpy hip issue that goes all the way back to January, but it's not affecting him that much. Udoka's ankle is fine 2 weeks later. Garrett, though, could vastly improve if he had 3 or 4 weeks, but you don't have that this time of year unless something wild were to happen with rescheduling. So for Marcus, he's just going to have to decide, how much do I really want to push it this week in Kansas City? I think Bill Self was tinkering with the notion initially after clinching the number one overall spot in Kansas City and the likely number one overall national seed, of maybe resting Marcus for Thursday. But Marcus is such a gamer. He's such a competitor. Even if Bill went to him and said, hey, do you want to just sit this one out and come back Friday? Marcus would say, are you kidding me? Of course not. Yeah. I'm going to be out there. So I think for any type of tweaks that fans are trying to forecast for this week, it's all about load management. He might scale Doak's minutes back by 5 or 6. He'd do that without the ankle injury just to get rest, like John was talking about. He's going to do the same with Dotson. He'll certainly do the same with Marcus Garrett. So for Kansas, that means more David McCormick in the post and maybe Silvio De Sousa, who would be returning for the first time since the Kansas State incident. And then a lot more of Christian Brown and Tristan Inaruna as well, as I think probably 5 to 6 minutes per game will be scaled off the workload of each of those three guys.
Yeah, so how does Coach Self and then even Coach Drew, I mean, you kind of know your positions and where you're going to be at in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, what happens if you're scaling back minutes and KU's in the semifinals and they're down with 10 minutes to go in the game? Does he go and win that game, or does he just stay with his plan? And what's the mindset of coaches in those situations?
They're still going to go for it. But this is a rare year. You know, typically, even when you're a projected one seed like Baylor and Kansas is, it's a matter of who's going to be the number one overall one. And that is something to go for nowadays, now that you get to pick your regional site.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter anymore now that fans aren't going to be there based on the coronavirus. But prior to hearing that news, Kansas was very much keeping the pedal to the metal and going for it on Saturday in Lubbock, for example. We knew after the West Virginia score went final, and believe me, we knew because Chris Beard ran down the sideline and shook Bill Self's hand and said, hey, Baylor lost. You could go easy on us. And Self said, get back to your side of the floor and hit him on the backside. So we knew, but they still kept going for it because, you know what, you wear that Kansas across the chest and your name on the back of it, you're playing for a lot of pride there, and you're not just going to lay down at that point. But they also were going for it from the standpoint of having the best possible resume to be the number one overall national seed. This year's a weird year, John and Bill, because Joe Lenardi's gone as far as saying, and I know Jerry Palm's backed it up, that Kansas, based on the metrics, this isn't the Kansas guy saying this, but based on strength of schedule, net rankings, all of that, Joe Lenardi said you don't even have to come to Kansas City this week. Just stay home in Lawrence. You'll still be the number one overall national seed.
Yeah.
So it's a weird season in which you don't have to go for it necessarily, but I think our guys want to go for it. You were talking about maybe a little bit of air coming out of the sails when the historic Baylor streak ended at 23 straight. We're up to 16 right now, and I'm not saying a Friday loss in the semis would affect Kansas and derail them, but I don't know. There's something to be said about carrying that momentum over, making it 19 straight and then 20 straight, and who knows, maybe by the time Atlanta rolls around we can make that Baylor record short-lived. But I think they're going to go for it for the pride factors alone. And we got a lot of competitors that if they're going to lace them up any day, anywhere, whether there's 16,000 in the stands or six, they want to go out there and win.
Well, you know, and that's the thing too, John. I mean, you get guys like me sitting on a couch, and I kind of take that angle from a fan standpoint of how the fans might look at it. But, you know, these kids growing up, I mean, and they are kids. I mean, and they can handle it. They can handle the workload, and they, you know, they grew up playing AAU ball, but they're playing 80 games over the summer. So is this really going to wear them down that much? You know what I mean?
I think this, and I agree with what Brian said, maybe you go into a tournament like this with the mindset, we're going to limit the minutes of these guys. We got to get them some rest. We got to have them healthy for the stretch run, which is the NCAA tournament. But then you get in a close game, you know, and maybe, you know, if Baylor is within 2 points of Kansas, maybe it's Baylor and Kansas in the championship game. You're going to take Freddie Gillespie out of the game to give him rest, you know, when it's a two-point game? You know, when you get in the heat of the battle, in the heat of a close game, some of that pregame thinking sort of goes out the window. And I know from Coach Drew and Baylor's perspective, they were very disappointed they didn't win at least a share of the Big 12 title this year. You know, with the great season that we had, still finished second to Kansas. He wants to win a Big 12 championship, and that's why you come to Kansas City, is you have a chance to win a Big 12 championship. So I think anything that he has to do this week, player-wise, you know, minutes-wise, I think he'll do it to try to win every game they take to the floor.
This special Big 12 this week is a podcast, and as I told you, no commercials, but I do have some live reads that I need to mention. So we'll talk about our can't-miss game of the week presented by Tickets for Less, the official ticket marketplace of the Big 12. So the can't-miss game of the week would obviously be, or weekend, would be Baylor against Kansas. So I'll throw a little curveball at you guys. If your team couldn't win this tournament, who has the best chance? Take these two out of it. The next
Can't
be Baylor or Kansas. Right.
That's a good question.
And this is interesting because for the first time ever, 3, 4, 5, and 6 all had the same record.
Right, yeah. Right.
So the difference between a third seed and a sixth seed is wild. I mean, it's so minuscule.
Yeah.
You know, and also the difference between first place and third place was a historically large eight games this year. An eight-game gap between the top and then the third place team. So that tells me this thing is anybody's game if Kansas and Baylor go out.
Yeah.
And you look at motivating factors. Despite what they're saying about Texas Tech, I think their metrics are good enough to be in unless they had a bad, ugly loss to Texas on Thursday night. I think the way Chris Beard coaches, the way they play defense, if they could just kind of get back to what we were seeing in early February, they're as good as anybody. You know, before West Virginia started falling like Tom Petty, free-falling that is, they were looking as good as anybody. They were a projected 2 seed at the end of January,
yeah.
And they've got the horses to do it. Texas, up until the Iowa State game, was as hot as any team not named Kansas or Baylor. I don't know that they win this thing. I think, honestly, and I don't think Oklahoma does either. I think Texas Tech, if they could find a way, and I know that's not the former Tech voice saying that. I'm just saying they've got three NBA guys on their roster, and they're in a swoon having lost 4 in a row, but they probably have the most to play for because there's a little bit of urgency factor, I think, in
sure.
Lubbock. Even though I'm telling you I think their metrics are good enough to be in, I think they feel like, man, if they're looking at our last 5 games coming in, we've lost 4 in a row. They're going to play with a fire underneath him, and maybe a foot up there, you know what, as well, because Coach Beard is going to expect the most out of his Red Raiders.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that one bit. I agree. Texas Tech is really good. I think there shouldn't be a question about them being in the NCAA tournament, but apparently in somebody's mind there is. But and maybe this is recency bias, but I think West Virginia is a team that could win it all. We just saw them Saturday, and they played really well against Baylor, especially in the second half. And I know their second half of their conference schedule was not great, but I think they've got the horses that could do it, and certainly they've got the coach, you know, in Bob Huggins, you know, that has won a lot of games in March. So I would say watch out for West Virginia here.
No kidding.
Those are good answers. When they let you back into games, then go to Tickets for Less, the official ticket marketplace of the Big 12. Great deals. Use the discount code Big12Radio at ticketsforless.com. That's our Big 12 Can't Miss Game of the Week segment. So we've got Tony Caridi from West Virginia. And Jeff, this is now. Did you guys just pick West Virginia and Texas Tech because their play-by-play guys were standing right here?
We did not.
No, we didn't. He didn't even hear what I said.
Jeff Haxton from Texas Tech and Tony Caridi from West Virginia.
It is a good segue, though, isn't it?
That's perfect. Yes. Yeah, yes. You guys are outstanding. I mean, you guys are always on.
We appreciate you, Bill. We enjoy the show and the way you give access to the Big 12 and coverage of all the great things we have going on. So we really appreciate that. Well, and certainly Learfield IMG College and. So thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, you guys have been great. Because what I wanted to do with this show was really highlight you guys and your great calls. And you know, I reach out to you guys all the time. Hey, can I have you on the show this week? And you guys are always
– It's great.
Yeah, always making time. So I really appreciate it.
And we appreciate Tom Bowman and Chris Ferris picking up our dinners the other night. That was really, really kind. And
I just can't
say thanks enough for that.
Well, and we put Wyatt Thompson on the spot because he was on a conference call, and I happened to walk into Tom's office.
Yeah.
And Tom says, hey, could we bring Bill along to your event? You know, actually, I'll talk about that with these guys, too, because I want to get them on. But you guys, meaning the Big 12 announcers, get together every year before – the tournament.
It's really fun for us.
It is.
It really is. And I don't know how many other leagues do that, but we, this shouldn't be shocking news, but we all get along. We all are doing the same thing. We love to compare stories. We love to visit with each other. And really here in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament on a Tuesday night before the games begin on Wednesday is really the only time of the year that we can get all of us together. And this year we had 9 of the 10, and Toby Rowland was the only one missing, and he's recovering from back surgery, or he would have been here. So it really is fun. I know we all respect each other and the work that everybody does representing their respective schools. And there's just a real camaraderie in the Big 12 that I think, you know, that is among us, but really among all the schools. Very collegial toward each other. And it's fun to be a part of. It really is.
Yeah, it was a great night. So, yeah, a few weeks ago, we were on the phone with Wyatt in Tom's office, and Tom says, hey, do you think, you know, Bill could come along? Wyatt's like, put him on the spot. You know, sure, bring him along. Yeah. So I weaseled my way into your dinner last night. And
absolutely. No, we're glad you were there.
So it was great. It's finally great to meet everyone, and it's outstanding. So, all right, while you guys switch out your headsets, we'll get Jeff Haxton and Tony Caridi with us here on this edition, a special edition of Big 12 This Week.
Hey, I want alcohol.
I will... These guys are settling in. I got to go through another live read here. Big 12 This Week can be heard on the Big 12 channel on Sirius XM. Tom Bowman was supposed to be controlling the microphones. Listen to all that clutter and clacking around.
It's a podcast. What did you want? This is live. This is literally.
We can still sound professional.
We are literally live to tape. And, you know, there's no commercials in this. So this is real life. And in real life, guys get up off the couch and they exchange the headsets. What do you want? You want us to be all polished?
Well, hold on,
and
let me cool? go. Well, let me get a bag of chips too. I'll eat some chips while
I mean, you're sitting here with an RC Cola in your hand.
And, no, it's like hard for radio guys to go into the podcast space because those are the things that drive us crazy.
We're so polished.
But when you get into a podcast, you go, hey, wait a second, I can actually sniffle.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can move my mic screen. I can do all that kind of stuff, and it's acceptable. In fact, it's praised.
It's universally.
Encouraged. I mean, geez.
Well, I'm old school. I don't like it.
Do you want to just start over?
3, 2, 1.
Yeah. Caridi and you interrupted our barbecue conversation.
Yeah,
he's got some big barbecue plans tonight.
Oh, he had barbecue plans earlier.
Yeah,
I went earlier today with him, and I had to.
It's him and Estridge.
Yeah,
sorry.
And so what I did was.
Yeah, you took me out that first.
I was going to say, we've.
It's the worst crab cake I've ever had in my entire
life. Tried. The service was bad, too. We won't even mention that place. I tried to come to this tournament to see the guys who aren't on the air and to spread a little love and maybe do a little lunch or maybe some dinner or some drinks or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did. We had some great. We went to Smoking Guns today.
Smoking Guns, yeah.
North of downtown in kind of a warehousey district. And
there's a lot of those here.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I believe the illustrious Tony Caridi had a smoked cheeseburger.
Yeah, it was very good.
Wow.
Estridge had some smoked chicken, and I had the signature dish from Smoking Guns, burnt ends.
Oh yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's the only thing I'll eat in Kansas City is the burnt ends.
Yeah, you can't do brisket in Kansas City because no one knows how to cut it. They cut it like roast beef. They cut it thin. Yeah. And that's how you hide
it's
it. You cut it
thin
and you put it in sauce.
Yeah.
That's how you hide a bad cook.
There's bad barbecue in Kansas City, too.
There's bad barbecue
really
everywhere.
Is there such a thing as bad barbecue?
There very much is, and it's there close to this place right here.
All right, so Jeff Hexton, the voice of Texas Tech, what is your go-to barbecue place here?
Definitely Jack Stack, which is down in the plaza. That is kind of a snobby barbecue place. It's clean, you know. It's weird a little bit. It's kind of upscale. And then Q39 is a close second.
Yeah.
And then you get into your Arthur Bryant's and stuff like that. But I like Jack Stack for the burnt ends, and I won't apologize for it. It's fantastic.
I think the place to go, though, and none of these guys are sponsors. Remind you, this is just us spending our own money and eating it.
Yeah.
Q39, which is just south of here. Did you say Q39?
Yeah, that's my second one.
I was answering an email from my boss. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we've got that.
You put Q39, you put Jack Stacks over Q39?
Just because the burn ends and probably a little bit of, I don't know, romantic stuff.
I feel like I have to move let me move the table for Caridi because he got all super casual.
Look at this. He's long over there.
That's good.
Q39's money.
Q39 has pork belly corn dogs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You guys failed to mention Joe's, though. To me, Joe's.
That's what I was going with.
Yeah, Joe's.
But they don't know who they are anymore. There was Kansas City Joe's, Oklahoma Joe's.
Who cares? Who cares about the name? You know what impresses me is that place is lined out the door at that gas station. And they don't write your order down. You get in line, you tell them what you want, and the woman repeats it, and she says to the next guy, he repeats it. And, man, it's never wrong. It's always right. It's part of it. It's part of the whole feel and the atmosphere of it. Yeah, and the food is delicious. So,
what's the go-to spot in Morgantown, Caridi?
I don't think that overall Morgantown is a great food place. And it's unfortunate because I'm a huge food person. But for the most part, there's nothing that makes me want to just absolutely run on my knees to go get.
Sounds like Stillwater a lot.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. But
Stillwater's got Hideaway Pizza, and that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that makes
Eskimo
you go crazy.
Joe's?
There's a couple of places.
I mean, you go to Joe's to get the Coors Light and get hammered. That's what you go for. That's what I go for.
You mean me personally?
You would go for there, for that. Yeah. Cheese fries.
Yeah.
What about Lubbock?
Lubbock is growing, and there's a ton of new places. But, not one that just, like, stands out. I get, you know, Kegel Steakhouse was the place way out west on the ranches there where you had to go out into the country to get to it. But, one guy is great for a little calzone, which Caridi would probably laugh at. But for me, it's good. And there's some good local Mexican places there as well. So it's a fat town, which makes me I'm good there. Yeah. So
welcome to Food Talk. Yeah.
Coach
Big 12.
Chris Beard had a funny story when he was here in Kansas City in October for the Big 12 Media Days. And he was talking about how last year during the year he'd always go and get a breakfast burrito, and they would charge him extra
for the salsa.
Charge him for the salsa. He probably says the story over and over. It's just great how, as the team was winning and getting more successful, they started slipping him the salsa.
Free salsa. Finally got free salsa.
Let me tell you something. In Lubbock, the old Pancake House, which is not far from the Elegante Hotel. Right across the street. The Pancake House is a piece of Americana. And you go there about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they have that U-shaped counter. Mm. And there are real cowboys and dudes that are there every single morning. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's assess your teams here at the Big 12 tournament. We were talking to Brian Haney and John Morris, and they like both of your teams. If one of those teams, I told them they had to pick someone other than Kansas and Baylor to win this thing. And they both said West Virginia or Texas Tech are the two teams that, kind of scare them or they're most impressed with. Tony, I'll just start with you. A lot of promise early in the season, and then they hit that downslide.
Right.
And listening to Bob Huggins during the year, it sounded like he was losing a connection with the, but he's very honest, too. And maybe coaches go through this, and we just don't hear about it. But it felt like there was a disconnect, like they weren't getting the message. And now the last couple of games, it's kind of clicked. What happened?
I think several different things. Firstly, I think they're young. They are out of, there's 353 teams in the country, and West Virginia is like 278 in overall youth. They're the youngest team in the Big 12. And so I think that everything that went on in the course and goes on in the course of a season was happening for the first time to these guys. And so I think for the younger guys, they were saying, oh, I didn't understand or I don't get it. And then for the guys that are quote unquote the experienced guys, they're sophomores now. We're talking about the Emmett Matthews of the world, Jordan McCabe, and Jermaine Haley is just in his second year in the program. So I think there was that. I think also that we've struggled trying to figure out how to play two bigs. Not many teams in the country really have two five-men type guys like West Virginia does, and Oscar Tshiebwe and Derek Culver. And I think that we became extremely myopic in our offense and that everything had to go inside first. And it became counterproductive because Derek Culver started to struggle, especially at the foul line. And so it became a net return for a defense to foul him. He was either going to come away maybe with 1 point off of a free throw or no points off of a free throw. And so I think two games ago, Iowa State game, they started to make the transition and they said, okay, we're going to go with more shooters on the floor, become less focused, so to speak, that everything has to initiate at the post. And as a result of that, I think everyone started to play better. And as a result, you wanted Iowa State. It was a good win because you were up at halftime, then lost the lead, then came back and won. So I thought that was a milestone for a young team to learn how to win coming from behind on the road. And then last Saturday against Baylor, they got after it. It was a wonderful crowd, and they fed off the energy of the crowd, and they really defended. So it leads us to now, and I don't know exactly how they will respond in this event, but they are extremely confident. They're back to where they were in November, December, January when they were feeling good about themselves. And now we'll have to wait and see. This tournament's been good for West Virginia. They've made it to the semis four straight years. They've played in the
tough.
In the championship three of the last five. So they have played well. But again, every day with this team, because of its youth, is we'll have to wait and see.
It's almost like a silver lining that Culver was struggling at the free throw line because it kind of forced them to do something different and maybe learn a little bit about themselves as a team and players individually.
Yeah, it's a real catch-22 because he is so good. Yeah. I mean, he basically averages a double-double. Mm-hmm. But that doggone foul line has just been his nemesis. It was amazing because he struggled last season. He was under 60%. At the start of this year, guys, in November, early in the season, he was shooting like 86% from the foul line. And you went like, whoa, whatever happened, he figured it out. And then for whatever
reason. So it's truly mental for him.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Truly is. And then it just went straight down. So right now he comes into this tournament averaging under 50% in Big 12 games from the free throw line. You just can't have that. Meanwhile, Oscar Tshiebwe has made 13 out of his last 14 or 15 at the foul line. He's making his free throws. And so he's become a guy you can depend on.
Tony, I think it's also a testimony to the overall coaching depth in this league that eventually – Hug's going to figure it out. He's going to find it, unless it's just, you know, one of those years. And I think teams, except for just a few, run through that. You saw it in Stillwater. And the only reason that I thought of this was because it's flipped. Oklahoma State finally started running some things through the post, where for the longest time they were cross half court and chuck it.
Yes.
And that wasn't working. And it took them a while to figure it out. But you know, when they started getting better, they got 100% healthy. They got a healthy ice. And they started running some things through the post, and it just kind of changed the entire way they played. And you guys, you're saying, changed a little bit about the way that you play. And, again, that's that coaching depth, I think, and that leadership. And I've always wondered this. When those freshmen, those guys that are first-year guys in Morgantown, when they get off the plane in Lubbock, do they feel like they've they've gotten off the plane in Mars. I mean, like, and it doesn't have to be just Lubbock. I mean, because all of your flights are long. How much does that slow them down?
I think you mean the travel?
The travel for the young guys. I would imagine the older guys are more adept.
So here's my thought. I go counter to what the general belief is.
That's why I asked you.
Yeah, so we're probably the number one traveling team in the country, mileage-wise or whatever it is. However, howsomever, here's the deal, man. So we get on a plane at 5 o'clock the day before a game. We fly to wherever we're going. We fly as nice of a plane as you can fly, right? It's the same plane the NBA teams use. It's first-class seats for the whole thing. So you're on the plane. Now, whether that's a 90-minute flight or when you go to Lubbock, if the wind's blowing, it could be 3:45, 4 hours. So you're sitting in an airplane seat rather than in your hotel room, okay? So not a huge difference. The game's over. You eat. You recline your seat. You got the wind at your back because now you're going west to east. And you can make it back from Lubbock in 3 hours. And you only have to do that.
That's amazing.
You only have to do that once. And if you really break it down, you probably have to do it four times in conference play in the middle of the week. Now, it's throw away the weekend. Sometimes you have to play on the weekends, but so what? You're getting home Sunday morning at whatever it might be. So my point to all that is if you make it a big deal, it's going to be a big deal. Mm. And the other part of that is this. In the old days, when we were in the Atlantic 10 Conference, every game, road game, was 3 days. You left the day before the game, you played the game, you went back to your hotel, you ate, you went to bed, you got up the next morning, you went to the airport, and you flew commercial back home. That was 3 days. Yeah. Our road trips are basically 28, 29 hours. So if you just put that at the start of the season, okay, man, here's what we're going to have. We're going to play 9 road games in the Big 12 Conference. Twice we're going to go out on the road, and we're going to play 2 at the same time. So really we're only going to make 7 trips. Now we're down to 7. And among those 7, only 3 are going to be in the middle of the week. So we're going to get home Thursday morning sometimes at 5 in the morning, 4:30 or 5 in the morning. That's just going to happen 3 times. Deal with it. Now, all these guys want to play in the NBA. What's the NBA players do?
Coast to coast.
Back and forth, back-to-back games. You know, that's what you want.
I think about that a lot.
Do it.
That's great. That's
Hugs' big thing.
That's a great spin.
Hugs' big thing to these guys all the time is this. You know, when they start, I'm tired. Like we played, I forget where we were, one of our kids told Hugs at Kansas State this year, very unfortunately, said, I'm tired. Well, that was about the worst thing you could ever say to him. So he said, he gets in there and says, guys, do you know how many games an NBA team plays? They'll play 82. Now, if they make it to the postseason, you count their exhibition games. He said there are 110, 115 games. And you guys are saying 31 games in, we're tired or whatever.
And you're here
and you want to be in the NBA.
Yeah.
So if you use it the right way, that's a long answer to your short question. If you use it the right way, it doesn't become an excuse. It becomes, hey, that's who we are. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Hey, it's interesting that you bring that up because for a 6-year span, when I was at Oral Roberts, I would leave on a Wednesday on the bus, play Thursday with the men, stay the night, go Friday to the next spot, Saturday doubleheader. Sunday, the men would get to go home through commercial or on the bus. Then I would go back with the women to where we originated the road trip, call a game on Monday, and come home on Tuesday. I was gone for 6 days, a whack, for 6 years. And the reason I took the Texas Tech job was because of the travel, period. I mean, getting to hang out with you boys in the Big 12 was fun, but also getting home when you're talking about is awesome. When you got kids,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's huge.
That's Jeff Haxton, the voice of the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Natural Light Seltzer, the official hard seltzer of the Big 12 Conference.
Get you some Aloha Beaches, baby.
You got to say it, Aloha Beaches.
Oh, I don't think so.
Can you try that? Who can do that better?
Have you been pounding those cards on your broadcast?
We don't have them.
Oh, we do. I mean, no. We pound us some Natty Light Seltzer, but we got about 5 reads a game, and Natty Light Seltzer.
We don't have them, but I want them.
Aloha Beaches.
I want to say Aloha Beaches.
Yeah. And then
it's funny to hear Dave Hunziker say Aloha Beaches.
That's what I need to do. I need to have each of these guys cut that for me, and then each way I'll just rotate those. So, yeah, once every 10 weeks we get, Tony or Jeff going, Aloha Beaches.
Michael Dean from OU.
All right. So, anyway, this basketball season, Natty Light Seltzer is crashing the party hard. All right. What do you guys make of this? No fans in the arena. I wanted to get everyone's opinions and thoughts on this. And
Tony, I want to listen to your answer.
How it affects teams. And
so my thought is this,
in no way, shape, or form am I going to make any kind of a statement or an opinion as to what's right or what's wrong, because it's so far out of my league.
Yep.
I just think from a fan from just the whole perspective, it's incredibly unfortunate, because we begin this ride in October when practice starts with one shining light, right, that everyone wants to, they want to touch the light, which is the NCAA tournament. It's the players, it's the teams, and obviously it's the fans. And so for the first time ever, unfortunately, it looks like, you know, it's going to be, obviously, it's going to be weird. It's going to be unique. It's going to be different. You just certainly hope that the bigger picture is that this horrible potential of infection and this illness, you know, is quelled and everything gets back. Guys, time never stops. That's the one thing. 1 year from right now, we're going to be sitting here. It's going to be the same carpet, the same couch. This tournament's going to go, and we'll be back on schedule. But unfortunately, sometimes you have to step back and let safety take over, and you just kind of deal with it. But it's weird. It's weird and unfortunate.
Yeah.
I think about 13, 12, 11-year-old me, when Dad came home one day and said, hey, get your stuff ready. We're taking the family to St. Louis, and we're going to watch – the round of 16 and the round of 8, and OU and Michigan State are going to be there, and Miami of Ohio was there, and it was the TWA Dome, I think, still then, you know, and we're sitting on the moon. We are way up there, but those were memories that I cherished, you know, being from, I went to a small high school, graduated with 30 people, and got to see all the OSU stuff living in Stillwater, but this was big. This was the NCAA tournament. There's going to be some kiddos that don't get to have that experience, and that saddens me. And when I heard it, I felt overall depression. It might be the exact right move to make. Probably is. I don't know. Like Tony said, no room to say what's right, what's wrong. We're going to follow directions. But I'm just really depressed because of what it means to the people that invest their time, their travel, their money. I mean, like you said, time never stops, and neither does it for the fan that's going to go or wanted to go to Spokane. So it's just an interesting time. It feels like the earth is shaking, tremoring right now. And I think it's there's a lot of it because we're so attached to social media and have such access that we can get the latest breaking news like that. So you're never off of it, right? You're addicted to it because it's part of our jobs to know what's going on. There's a lot of time, but I just want to disconnect, you know, just say, I just don't want to look at this anymore. But then you're like, you know what? I'm not going to do my job good enough. I've got to be in it. I've got to be looking at it. And so I'm snaking through the question as well, just overall just pretty down about it when there's not going to be any empty arenas. Think about that. I mean, the first four is Tuesday, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In Dayton.
Yeah. And the Ohio governor. Put the squash on that, yeah.
Yeah, that's not very long from now, and we're going to see empty arenas. It's interesting. And we could be rolling in there, too, Tony, if we win.
If
we beat Texas.
Well, this event here, I mean, we're going to play, as we record, we're going to play two games tonight, right?
Yeah, right.
Tomorrow? Is there a guarantee that there's going to be fans there? Who knows?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's fluid.
It's hard to say because, I mean, there are fans. As I look through the tunnel, I mean, there are fans in the building as we speak.
Yeah.
So we know tonight.
Tonight, but yeah.
But what's the difference between tonight and tomorrow?
Well, maybe.
And there's some thought.
Who knows?
For me, like, if you were going to say no fans, wouldn't you have started it now? But also, with as fast as this thing is moving, as far as perception and the way that it's being consumed, I could see them saying, hey, we're locking the doors to the fans tomorrow, which is the way it is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Could see that happening.
And, you know, I see some of these journalists, some of these TV folks running around. I'm like, what's going on? What's happened now, you know?
Well, if you go back, here at Sprint Center in Kansas City, this is our second Big 12 This Week show. The first one, the original show, if you go back and listen to it on our podcast, and you go to Apple, Google, Big12Sports.com, and you subscribe and download the podcast.
Is there different information on there?
Well, we were talking with Brian Haney, and I can't remember who else was with him at the time. Brian Estridge. Mm. And Brian Haney's looking at his phone. He's like, hey, hold on. He goes, the NCAA just
went.
So, I mean, it happened while we were doing the show. It's pretty interesting. So if you want to go back and listen to that show.
My snarky tweet was, if we make the NCAA tournament, I'll just leave the crowd mic at home.
Yeah.
That's my snarky tweet. Still plug into the effects, you know, but there's not going to be any crowd.
So. No. Well, it's probably the right move, but What concerns me, though, is you set that precedent, and then what's, you know, down the road, what is the thing that's going to happen where they're like, well, let's just close everything off again? I mean, it's a slippery slope, but yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see how this plays out. So, yeah. So, all right.
Interesting situation. Something we've never really been through, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, thanks for joining me, Tony Caridi and Jeff Haxton. Appreciate
thank
you wrapping
Mr.
up
Bill,
this podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
TB Tom Bowman, king of barbecue. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, setting
I'm
everything
sampling.
Up. Tom. Yeah,
I'm
you did
not
a great job.
Yet.
No, I oh. listen, I appreciate you getting the couch. You came through. You
Dude,
told
I told you 2 weeks ago. There's a couch. No one believes me.
On the red carpet.
This couch has not moved for at least 4 or 5 years. This used to have like a social media podium.
Yeah, you're right, it did.
All sorts of other crap. There used to be a big Sprint sign behind it. And I just think they're too lazy to move it. So, like, I came here for a Foo Fighters concert hoping I could walk down this tunnel and it would still be here.
I want my couch.
I know. Where's the couch? Can I sit back with the Foos on this couch? I thought that could happen.
Yeah,
this
is, I know.
Maybe you're sitting right where Dave Grohl had a break before he went back out to the stage.
Sweat all over the place.
Stories that this couch could tell.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. On that note.
On that note, let's wrap this thing up. Yeah. All right. So thanks to all of my guests.
Thanks, guys.
And we will talk to you soon. This is Big 12 This Week from Learfield IMG College.
On the Big 12 Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, Big 12 This Week has been brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, official sporting goods and outdoor retailer of the Big 12 Conference. Prime Sport, the go-to source for your premium game day experience at the Big 12 Men's Basketball Championships. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Phillips 66, live to the full. And by Natty Light Seltzer. This basketball season, Natty Light Seltzer is crashing the party hard. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Big 12 Sports Network.